640 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. In a late-night vote, the debt limit bill has been passed in the U.S. Senate.
On this vote, the yeas are 63, the nays are 36. The 60-vote threshold having been achieved, the bill is passed.
The U.S. Senate powered through a package to raise the nation's debt limit for 2 years and rein in federal spending.
We may be a little tired, but we did it. So we're very, very happy.
The bipartisan vote followed a day of high drama in the upper chamber as some senators sought changes to the House bill.
CBS's Nicole Killian says any changes would have delayed final passage and would have risked default. The latest jobless figures are due out this morning. Here's Mark Hamrick with Bankrate.com.
Hiring is expected to be solid, but below the monthly pace that we've come to expect. The consensus is for an increase in payrolls just shy of 200,000 jobs, down from April's 253,000 and the monthly average of 285,000 jobs added so far this year.
The UN says trafficking in synthetic drugs in East and Southeast Asia is surging to pre-pandemic levels.
There are high volumes of methamphetamine making their way through Asia, according to the UN's Jeremy Douglas.
Until about this point last year, still a lot of borders had restrictions. Those restrictions meant there were restrictions on criminal movements, but those restrictions dropped over the second half of last year, and that is when we started seeing a reconnection of criminal groups reestablishing themselves to the pre-pandemic stage.
And he says they're establishing new routes to traffic drugs.
That's CBS's Cammie McCormick. Bill Cosby is facing a new sexual assault lawsuit.
He's being sued by a former Playboy model under a new California law that suspends a statute of limitations on sex abuse claims. Victoria Valentino alleges he drugged and sexually assaulted her and another woman in 1969. She says she passed out after Cosby gave her a pill at a restaurant, and then she says she woke up at his home, where, according to the lawsuit, he raped them both. A Cosby spokesperson says the lawsuit lacks any proof or facts. Stacy Lynn, CBS News.
14-year-old Dev Shaw of Florida has won the Scripps National Spelling Bee, correctly spelling the word, Samophile.
Samophiles. P-S-A-M-M-O-P-H-I-L-E, Samophile.
That is correct.
And just what is a samophile? Well, I'm going to tell you. It is a plant or animal that thrives in sandy areas. So now you know. This is CBS News.
Need hires who dazzle without the hassle? You need Indeed. Their powerful platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected on the Civic Media Network, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. A Baraboo man is in jail for the death of a man at a southwest Wisconsin campground last week. When first responders got to Bunker Hill Campground near Richland Center, they say they found Corby Neef's body. The sheriff's department says he'd been shot to death. It would take $250,000 to bail the suspect out of jail. Wisconsin's National Guard is closer to new sexual misconduct regulations. A committee of the state assembly passed three bills this week after a scathing report in 2019 that found Wisconsin National Guard commanders kept sexual assault complaints secret instead of telling the Defense Department for a decade. Major General Donald Dunbar resigned over the scandal. In sports, the Brewers are at Cincinnati today. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
It's time to have some fun and make a difference, Waukesha County. Attend the 2023 Habitat for Humanity of Waukesha Dream Builders Gala on June 9th at 6 p.m. in the Domenica Park neighborhood. Help celebrate the accomplishments of last year while helping to create, preserve, and promote affordable housing in our area. Enjoy an upscale barbecue, live entertainment, and the chance to make a real difference in the lives of local families. Register now at HabitatWaukesha.org/events. That's HabitatWaukesha.org/events. Let's build a brighter future together.
This episode of Eye on Travel is brought to you by Viking, providing all-inclusive voyages on rivers, oceans, and lakes around the world. Designed for curious travelers with interests in science, history, culture, and cuisine. Viking chairman Torsten Hagen often says, Viking offers experiences for the thinking person, with no children and no casinos on board. Learn more at Viking.com. That's Viking.com.
Hey, Dan Kelly, you went around the state saying there had been fraud and the election should be overturned. You did that. You took $120,000 in pay from the Republican Party, not in a donation, pay. The most recent payment was in December, and we don't know if you're still being paid. And you've been endorsed by some of the biggest election deniers in the state. And you're shying to me with, I don't know how I'd rule. I know how you'd rule. I know how you'd rule.
Matt Flynn Direct, weekday afternoons from 3 until 4. On the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up? This
is a big party, man.
Good morning and welcome to the Early Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
You know, the skies are blue and it's Friday. Hard not to be doing well.
Yeah, man. There's something good to be said about both of those things. It really is, man. And
let me say,
say
them. I mean, we should say those good things.
So that's coming from the peanut gallery. It's Friday, and that means my co-host Sandy Williams is on the line. Hey, how you doing, Sandy?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm reasonably good. I am on the line rather than I don't want to be Typhoid Mary spreading a contagion there, so I stayed home.
You know, I have to tell you, man, as I was coming in this morning, there was heavy traffic backup. There was an accident around Barker Road. You don't realize it until you get caught up in that kind of traffic. And I know you've been in those kinds of situations. And so you're backed up. And so I'm doing what 99.9% of the other people are doing. There's nowhere to go, Sandy. It's a parking lot. And you're just being patient. And then there's this open lane all the way over to the right where emergency police and fire are supposed to use. And there are these nuts driving in those lanes. They can't wait, right? And I know, Sandy,
right.
I know it's not my worry. It bothered me that these people thought, you know, their time is more important than anybody else's. And
well, the rules don't apply to them, right? That's what's happened in America. We've got this growing sort of legitimacy about people just taking matters into their own hands and, you know, deciding which rules are good, which ones are bad, applying the good ones and ignoring the bad ones.
I got to tell you, it bothered me, right? It bothered me to see these people thinking they're special. All of us.
Now, Earl, you didn't. You didn't experience road rage, did you? You didn't get all the way
in,
there.
In my mind, I experienced road rage. Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
it is easy.
Huh?
I find myself getting furious sometimes when I'm driving. Someone cuts me off and seems to endanger me, and I have the wild kingdom kind of fight or flight instant.
And all I could think about was what the other people who were in the parking lot on 94 were thinking when these yahoos were driving in that lane. Man, where are they going? Well, we do know where they're going. They can't wait. What's happening with them is more important than anybody else. And you're right, Sandy. This is kind of new in our society, right?
I think it is. I mean, I think the last 8 years have found a growing number of people with this sort of this legitimacy of laws, and they're good laws. I mean, part of the gun movement is people who are getting guns so that they can defend themselves when enforce bad laws against them, which suggests that they think they're in a position to judge whether the laws being enforced are good ones or bad ones.
You know, and all I could think about was, hey, where are the sheriffs? You know, can you take down the license plates number of the person who's passing in that lane? You know, they're moving too fast, so you couldn't. But that's the time to be a good Samaritan. And I don't know if it would matter anyway that people could say it didn't happen. But you just feel helpless, right?
Yeah, yeah. This is, of course, if this is the worst thing that happens to your own,
I know.
you're gonna be okay.
I know, man. I just let it bother me. And, yeah. You know, because when the first guy came by, and the worst thing about it, Sandy, is I said, well, okay, they're doing it and getting away with it. Why am I sitting here?
Yeah.
And the thought came.
Yeah, but you were.
Huh?
Yeah. Were you in a lane so you could access it?
Yeah, I could have did the exact same thing. I was right there. But I've been taught better. And yeah. I can't teach other people to do the right thing if I'm going to turn around and do the wrong thing, Sandy, right? At some point,
and you'd get arrested. You could get arrested for DWB.
What's that?
Driving while black.
And all those things are possible. But more than anything else, Sandy, what it made me do was just think about how many times people are rude now in the society, more so than they've been in the past. It's something that has changed in our nation, Sandy, and I think it's never going back to the way it was. Let's go to Dave from San Francisco. Hey, good morning, Dave. How are you? Your thoughts? Oh, you're in San Francisco, man. You must really be experiencing some changes.
Well, there's a little ebullience. I was lucky enough to get on C-SPAN a couple of minutes ago and ask the publisher of the National Review if they believe in the social contract. And boy, that guy got dumbfounded. He didn't want to admit that the old rich guys don't want to give anything to the people, and the social contract is the last thing they believe in. So I feel good.
So let me say this before you move further. We feel pretty good, Sandy and I, because here you are. You're in San Francisco. You just got off of C-SPAN, and you're listening to us. That's pretty good stuff, Sandy.
Yeah, you're worth it.
Well,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well, so go ahead.
Oh, well, I was just going to play Paul Revere. I don't know if you've, you know this guy, Harlan Crow, the guy that's buying the Supreme Court. And apparently it's not just Clarence Thomas that he's bought. Isn't he the guy that also paid off the gambling debts of one of the judges? He was the one that sponsored the Citizens United ruling. He paid.
Yes. We're aware of who he is. Yes.
Yeah. So Harlan Crow is on the board of Thomas Jefferson's Monticello. I mean, can you imagine a creep like Harlan Crow having control of Monticello and the legacy of Thomas?
Well, yeah, I think Harlan Crow from an people who know him interpersonally, has some good qualities. And some of the things he's involved with are quite positive. But, you know, the best thing that Trammell Crowe ever did, I mean, that Harlan Coe ever did, was to be the son of Trammell Crowe. And that brought him lots and lots of money. And I guess he's proof of the of how it is that sort of ethics and a sense of ethics has eroded. So I'm sure he believes that he's doing nothing wrong. He does not believe that he's compromising these people, that he's and the people who are getting all this, all these benefits from him don't feel compromised. But of course they are. That's why we have disclosure requirements. That's why we have limitations on the receipt of these kind of gifts. This is why most judges are very careful about taking anything from anybody for fear that we're given the image of impropriety.
But Sandy, having heard what you just said, even judges understanding that, what do you say to judges understanding that and moving forward and taking those things anyway?
Well, I think that what's happened in Washington generally in the political range is that the ethical boundaries have been completely obscured. Everyone in Washington understands that a significant percentage of the people there are looking to feather their nest financially. They all feel like they're sacrificing to take these jobs as congressmen and senators. They're surrounded by wealthy people and they want to become part of that club. And the fact is that most of them succeed. It's unbelievable. They go to Washington, congresspeople or senators, and they emerge years later with a very big net worth. And so that doesn't happen without ethical boundaries being obscured and ignored. And the fact is that they ignore it amongst one another because they're all a part of it.
David?
Oh, yeah, thanks, Earl. Yeah, it's kind of like the glue that holds them together is dirty money. And it's funny because money, you know, the theory behind money is that it's supposed to reflect our reputation. And if you're a good talk show host, if you're a good political scientist, you'll have more money. But if you're a crook...
Hey, don't include talk show hosts. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, if you're a crook, though, and you just steal a whole passel of money, does that actually give you a reputation? Or are you just, because you have a bunch of numbers in an account or a fat wad, you basically gain reputation solely by a piece of paper? And so that's kind of the fakeness that humans have been going through for centuries. Just because somebody's got a handful of scratch, that doesn't mean that they have a good reputation. And a good reputation is what's going to get you far. And so it's kind of funny, you know, America's faced off against this for years, but, you know, we can outvote these crooks, but the people like Harlan Crowe, who basically have tons of stolen money, they basically pass it around. The guy is shameless about never disclosing what he's paid into. The guy's the biggest collector of Adolf Hitler memorabilia in America, and this rat is on the board of directors of Monticello. This guy is, like, deadly dangerous. We the people have the ability to boycott him, though.
So, David, I wish we had more time. We've got to go to a break. Thank you very much for the call. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. We'll be right back. Right on.
Hi, this is Lindsay Kynard at 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK The Shaw. Here are upcoming events happening in the area.
Milwaukee's very own Downtown Dining Week starts on Thursday, featuring multi-course lunch and dinner specials. You can learn more by visiting downtowndiningmke.com. Friday Night Live in Waukesha begins this Friday from 6:30 till 9. Enjoy live music on various stages throughout downtown. Sendik's Family Fun Day is this Saturday from 1 till 3 in Market Square at the corners of Brookfield. Enjoy a day of family fun for everyone.
And if you're looking for a patio party, join Motor Bar and Restaurant. They kick off their summer season with some music and food and beverage specials. Call 414-287-2778 for more details.
If you have an event you'd like us to share, let me know. Email me, Lindsay Kiner, at info@civicmedia.us.
The Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing. Advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with highs around 88. East winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mainly clear tonight, lows dip down to about 60. Mainly sunny skies and calm tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 89. Temperatures a bit above average Sunday and Monday, with highs in the low 80s. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 66 degrees.
On air, online, on your smart speaker, and on the Civic Media app.
Give us time. Soon we'll be broadcasting directly to your brain. This is the Shaw.
Us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with Sandy Williams. Sandy, can you explain to me, Minnesota just joined the lottery on weed, legalizing marijuana. So we're surrounded by Michigan, Illinois, Minnesota, and Iowa is the only other, you know, state that's bordering us that does, and we have not, I mean, Sandy, we're still not allowing medical marijuana. What's wrong with us?
You know, this is it's the same thing that was wrong with us when we turned down that high-speed train running from Chicago to Minneapolis through Madison. It was sort of a matter of ideology and statement of principle that was idiotic, that was costing the state lots of money, lots of jobs, and a huge positive investment. So, you know, marijuana, I suspect, it's as if states refuse to allow the sale of alcohol. I mean, there's plenty wrong with alcohol and the excessive use of alcohol, but states have long decided that that sort, you know, the tax on alcohol is a pretty substantial tax. Pretty substantial revenue source for the state, and particularly in a state like Wisconsin, where alcohol is, you know,
king.
I think we're the highest consumption states. Yeah, we're king alcohol. And so it's screwy, because when you legalize the sale of marijuana, and hopefully you set it up in a manner that keeps the price of marijuana low enough in the establishments that sell it legally, so that it supplants the illegal market for marijuana, you accomplish two things. You get rid of a criminal and you derive a lot of state revenue.
You know, Sandy, it's not like we would be the first ones and we would be a test state. There's almost all these other states, 25 states have already said yes. So there's already a template that shows how this works, and the resources and the financial resources that are associated with it, Sandy. And then the fact that you still won't allow medical marijuana, which they already know have all these positive you know, implications with, and yet we've got a state that steadfastly says, well, and Robin Voswell, we're not even going to consider that right now. Just, it just doesn't make any sense, Sandy.
Well, it doesn't make any sense. And it's a place where it's evident that political ideology and statements of political principle that are not favored by the majority, but are the position of a very strident minority, and have ended up capturing the political processes of more conservative states in the entire country, almost any way that you can measure us, you know, in terms of the rate at which we incarcerate people, this question of legal or illegal use of marijuana. There's just in every fashion, we are a very conservative state that votes demonstrably very purple, right? So we've got a strident minority that controls stuff.
You know, Sandy, I'll even, you know, give in to that conservative side of things, right? Okay, so you're conservative, that's fine. But should that even interfere with things that make sense? Well, I'm a conservative, so I can't vote for legalizing marijuana. Well, there are other states, Sandy, and other conservative states that have said yes to it. I mean, there's something even more. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I mean, the libertarian, which is probably one of the most strident forms of conservatism. Libertarians want government to be as small as possible and to have as little impact on human lives as possible. Libertarians have long taken the position that it should be legalized, right? That right. The limitation on it is an improper intrusion in government. So people like Rand Paul, undoubtedly, if they're true to their libertarianism, favor. So, you know, it isn't even a bona fide conservative view held by all conservatives. It's just dogma. That's what it is. It's dogma.
Yeah, and you just wonder, the people can't force, 70% of the people in the state want to see marijuana legalized. And most of the people who want to see it legalized, Sandy, aren't saying it because they smoke pot themselves. They know it just makes sense. Economically, it makes sense. The fact that we keep criminalizing people because of marijuana, all those things just don't make sense anymore, Sandy.
Well, either we criminalize it or some localities have totally, essentially decriminalized it, that the locality has any control. It's just it's a hodgepodge of regulations about something that many other states have reached a totally different conclusion about. So, yeah, it's looking towards in the mouth. I mean, it's, you know, there's lots of revenue for the state.
Yes.
From this. And I don't think they've shown that there's been any increase in drug problem issues associated with this legalization.
All right, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
Truth.
You can't handle the truth.
And taking names in the process. This is The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
CBS News Special Report. The jobs report for May shows that non-farm payroll employment increased 339,000 in May, while the unemployment rate rose by 0.3% to a percentage rate of 3.7%. Sarah House, a senior economist at Wells Fargo, says she thinks there's room in the economy for more jobs to be added.
There's still a lot of catch-up hiring that's going on, particularly in some sectors like leisure and hospitality, other services, which are kind of close contact services that we didn't do a lot of during kind of the throes of the pandemic.
Still, some industries are having a hard time finding workers to fill job openings. Casey Salazar can confirm that.
It's been a challenge for small businesses, especially within the retail sector, and the hourly workforce and finding
looking
people
for more
to
local
work.
Programming? And the check out our website, shrunk. civicmedia.us, to see
Red
our
Bay
entire
Coffee.
Lineup.
CBS News Special Report, I'm Linda Kenyon.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Mayer. Here's what you need to know. A bipartisan bill barring people under 18 from being charged with prostitution had a hearing in the Wisconsin Assembly on Thursday. Supporters say the Safe Harbor bill helps fight sex trafficking by ensuring that victims who come forward to authorities won't face charges. Similar measures have been introduced three times before but failed to pass the full legislature. If this bill passes, prostitution would remain illegal in Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Department of Revenue has $600 million worth of unclaimed property they're trying to return to the owners. The DOR published thousands of names in Wisconsin newspapers of people with cash and other property waiting to be claimed. The department says 1 in 7 Wisconsinites have unclaimed property in their name. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Moving Day, a walk for Parkinson's, is happening around the country. Together we can unite in the fight against Parkinson's disease in a safe but exciting and fun way. So let's get moving. Join the Parkinson's Foundation to learn more and register at movingdaywalk.org.
Text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, let's go to the phone lines and Tom from L.A. Good morning, Tom. How you doing?
Earl?
Yes, sir.
Oh, couldn't hear me. I couldn't hear you guys for a second. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. It doesn't seem like we are the government right now because of money and politics, like Dave said. from San Francisco, because he's absolutely correct. All the things that we want to actually have passed and invested in our lives, seem to be the things that the other side seems to, or the I'll put it this way, the people that are bought off by either the corporation or the or by the lobbyist, don't allow it to pass. So, you got the Tavern League in Wisconsin that is so powerful. But their day will come where they can no longer hold up marijuana legalization in the state of Wisconsin. Needless to say, I right now, as we're talking, am in Wisconsin, back here in Durand, Wisconsin, and I'm up on my mom's rain gutters right now cleaning them out. So I've been put back to work. I've been put
you're,
to
you're
work
a good
early,
son.
But I'm back here.
You're a good son.
It's all good. It's all good. But no, it's
be careful. Be careful, Tom. I hope you have someone at the bottom of the ladder. And hold maybe it. It's not your.
No, I don't want that, Sandy. I got this ladder from the next door neighbor. It's a Keller ladder. And it's actually a pretty light ladder. I'm thinking about getting one of these when I get back to L.A. They got it at Menards or somewhere like that. So, out here in the beautiful Wisconsin air, lots of bugs here. But like I said, Dave's got it right. This guy that was involved in Citizens United is the problem. I'll call him Mr. Nazi himself, with the paraphernalia that he has hanging up this thing. And you're right, Sandy, it's amazing. Some of the originators, the OG, like his father, may have been a good guy, but apparently that good guy did not teach his son to get out there and do some hard work. Instead, he just got the inheritance because he probably didn't have a inheritance tax and got all the money and out the dynasty. And, just like the Koch brothers and people like that, there's a lot of people that when they first originally started were actually doing it for altruistic reasons and did it because they knew that it was good for the whole, we the people. But these younger generations come up where they didn't have to, they just inherited their money and they didn't work for it at all. And now all they do is buy politicians. So the problem is not really completely, and you'll be shocked to hear this, but not completely the politician. It's completely money in politics. And, you have to have money in order to run a campaign nowadays because you got, 20,000 commercials. I mean, that alone should be a campaign ad. Are you sick of seeing all these commercials? Well, let's get money out of politics. You won't see as many of these commercials every 2 seconds that you turn your TV on.
Well, Tom, people have grown so accustomed to money in politics now that we almost forgot what it was like to not have so much money in politics. And that wasn't so long ago.
No, exactly. It was just 20 years ago that Citizens United was actually, I got a bug in my mouth. That it was actually passed. But, you can go back to Blatty versus First National Bank and Buckley versus Vallejo when they made corporations people, when all of this started, in the first place under the Ronald Reagan Supreme Court and the Paul Amendment. And I would just urge all the people, really, again, look yourself in the mirror and ask yourself, why? Why is it that you don't believe in a return on investment? And why it is that you don't believe that we, the people, deserve the things that we put our money into rather than giving it to the military-industrial complex? Again, not the military-industrial complex. I just like to see why people keep thinking that they're not worth it. They pay the money in the taxes. Sandy says it all the time, $64,000, and the job's only paying $60,000. How is a person supposed to make it in this country?
Oh, okay, Tom, man. Thank you. Thank you very much for the call. Sandy, I wanted to go to the continued U.S. job growth. and 50 or so thousand more jobs added last month. The economy keeps defying, Sandy, what seems to be, you know, an improbable reality. The inflation is certainly subsiding, but the economy seems to be resilient. Housing market is down. What's going on?
Well, you know, we've had just an unusual bunch of circumstances. I think all this information, all this news about the impending recession, it's like Mark Twain's, the news of my death was exaggerated or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I think that the recession is something that obviously could happen. And the sun, the moon, and the stars could line up still for the, you know, to end up with something that is nominally a recession. But in terms of technical measurements, you know, how many quarters in a row do you have declining GDP and whatever else they're going to look at to decide officially if there's a recession. But the fact is that we've had these pockets of jobs, of labor shortages ever since the pandemic, and they haven't gone away. You know, they're still very active hiring in a bunch of the service industry jobs, and many jobs related to construction, many jobs related to the servicing of buildings and homes. And so I just think that that we are not likely to experience a deep recession unless we have, you know, unless Mrs. O'Malley's cow kicks the lantern over in some fashion and starts the fire. You know, there needs to be a precipitating event that's, and it could be the commercial real estate market. There are things where shoes are going to fall that are going to make our economy give it more tests. But right now, my view is that we're sort of experiencing this soft landing. It's perilous. You know, perilous landings are scary.
You know, Sandy, do you think that part of this, the fact that you know, the COVID situation and the impact that it had on the country is several years back now, and that, you know, one of the reasons that we're probably not or have not gone into recession is those bleak times a couple years back, and the fact that, you know, the economy had to take a hiatus for 2 years, that's part of the reason why we, you know, things are a little bit different.
Well, I think that plus the fact that the government, the stimulus acts, the various things the government did, they worked. Lots of people were actually earning money without working, essentially. So that carried the economy through what could otherwise have been a precipitating event that would have created a very troublesome recession, but it ended up being an event that was sort of subject to being handled by the government through stimulus payments that got us through. However, the stimulus payments allowed people to relocate in terms of their vocations, and that relocation of people out of the jobs they had has created lots of shortages now of workers, and it's that worker shortage in segments of the economy that is driving the economy upward and forward now. Plus the fact the inflation was basically caused by, you know, I think they'll use a fancy word, exogenous, meaning that it's stuff, something that's outside of the economy itself. The war and what it did to the economy was something that was imposed on the economy and didn't come from within. And so, again, that's a different kind of a causal effect. And so far, the economy is coping.
So Sandy, is it safe to say that historians, you know, years and decades from now, will study this point in the history of this nation, and they will be able to better understand just what is going on now, more so than those of us who are living through it right now?
Well, that is the job of historians. That's what historians try to do. That's what they're supposed to do. Some things just get forgotten,
right?
And so I think the question will be, how will historians deal with the social function, the sociocultural function of a Donald Trump, for instance, and the Trump movement? And how will they look at and examine the economy and how the government has related to the economy? A lot of that will have to do with whatever happens to our economy over the next 10 years. You know, will we, you know, do we lose world dollar status, world currency status for the dollar in the next 10 or 15 years? That will have a huge impact and will cause historians to look backwards now and begin to put together, connect the dots. You know, you can connect dots in retrospect. It's easier to do it than it is in the circumstance.
So, you know, Sandy, whether people want to give credit to the Biden regime or not, and I don't know if the credit goes to the Biden regime as much as it goes to the Federal Reserve, Sandy, it's kind of safe to say that they've kind of broken the back of inflation. I'm not saying they're clear of it, but they've certainly moved in the right direction because they brought it down from the 9% or 10% that it was under 4, and it's still declining. Is it safe to say, you know, it was masterful what they did?
Again,
or is it too early?
You know, you have to look back. But it's just kind of too early because they did some massive things. This quantitative easing program in which they bought government securities to inject trillions of dollars into the economy. You know, this is all going to play out. And, you know, there are people who the sky is falling kind of people who look at the size of our debt, look at the overhang created by this quantitative easing program, and worry about what could happen with it. So far, so good. You know, and so far it's being unwound, and it's being unwound successfully. Unwinding it is deflationary. We've been able to have some deflationary influences without recession. So, like I said, this is a very perilous, but so far a safe landing. You know, we're landing in some airport that has a reputation for being the most dangerous airport in the world. But we're landing.
Yeah, you know, Sandy, I remember you constantly talking about and them talking about the soft landing. Soft landing referring to clearly recession and hurting a lot more people. It certainly didn't look like that was possible, but you know, they've done a masterful job of it thus far.
Yeah. I think that so far the policies, while they were experimental in some respects, quantitative easing was sort of invented, at the time of the 2008 financial recession.
All right. We've got to go to a break. The phone lines open at 844-967-2789. It's Friday. That means my co-host Sandy Williams is with us. We'll be right back.
Water is one of nature's most beautiful and life-sustaining resources. Through no fault of their own, many Wisconsin utility customers are facing a shutoff to their water service. This leaves them without the one life-giving resource we all take for granted, and those hardest hit, families on fixed incomes, the elderly, and our veterans. If you or someone you care about needs a hand up, your local Wisconsin Energy and emergency service providers are working together to keep you safely in your home and your water, heat, and power on. If you are in danger of losing your water service, call 1-833-426-9472. That's 833-H2O-WISC. Or visit us online at wisconsinwater.help. You may not ask for it, but we're here to help.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, Did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon with highs around 88. East winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mainly clear tonight. Lows dip down to about 60. Highs level off around 89. Tomorrow, lots of sunshine. Temperatures a bit above average Sunday and Monday with highs in the low 80s. Chance for scattered storms Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 66 degrees.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw.
540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
You can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, U.S. life expectancy problem is bigger than we ever thought, report finds. I don't know if many of us knew that the life expectancy in our country has been in major decline for decades now. The country's life expectancy problem gained renewed attention in recent years after seeing the largest drop since World War II during the COVID-19 pandemic. As U.S. life expectancy continues to plummet, a new report found that the country has been at a life expectancy disadvantage since the 1950s, and it has only gotten worse since then. The study published Thursday in the American Journal of Public Health also shows that more than 50 countries have surpassed the U.S. in life expectancy since the 1930s, and a handful of states may be partially responsible. Sandy, how can it possibly be that a nation with the best health care in the world now is in free fall with life expectancy in our country? In this country?
Well, that's because you have to unbundle that statement about the best healthcare in the world. We have the most sophisticated healthcare delivery system, or most sophisticated healthcare available. But to whom is it available? And how many people in our society access that healthcare? And how much is our healthcare related to wellness? And how much of it is related to solving symptoms? And I think that, and if you unbundle the data about the declining life expectancy, you'll find out that socioeconomic status has everything to do with that declining life expectancy, and that that socioeconomic status has a lot to do with people living in conditions that create bad wellness for them. There's more obesity amongst those who are poor. Obesity is a direct causal agent of diabetes and heart disease, two of the things that can rob you of the longevity in your life. It's a little bit like the movies that Michael Morris.
Yeah, Mike. Wait, yeah. Yeah. Michael Moore.
Moore did about evaluating the truth about the things that America says about itself as compared to what the actual truth is. And this is exactly one. You said what we all repeat, which is we have the very best healthcare system in the world. But the fact is that we might have the ability to provide the most sophisticated kinds of health service to people, but it's not readily available to people. There's a great deal of problem with access to healthcare. And the kind of healthcare we provide is as the result of the way we provide it, emergency rooms basically for the poor. Does not have anything to do with fostering wellness.
So, Sandy, so, go ahead.
No, so it's just that the way we're dealing with our healthcare, our broken healthcare system, is all lined up with incentives that basically will drive life expectancy in our country down, not up.
So perception is everything, because clearly most of us who did not see it from the perspective you just explained will say, hey, yes, we have the most up-to-date technology when it comes to those kinds of things, wealthiest nation on earth. You would automatically think that that would reflect in you know, the health of the American people. But clearly you just pointed out that for those who can afford it, yes. Apparently it's not that way in other nations. The U.S. began seeing dramatic increases in life expectancy in the early 20th century, mainly due to public health advances, vaccines, and sanitation. The new report shows how that growth continued into the 50s, with U.S. life expectancy ranking the 12th highest in the world. However, that growth rate began declining in 1955, so that by 1968, the U.S. had fallen to 29th place. Sandy, it's almost unimaginable that now there are 50 other nations that do a better job of life expectancy than the United States of America. Is that something we should be worried about?
Well, of course. And what we ought to be reflecting on is our healthcare system, which is so seriously broken. And this is a symptom, and it should be a very glaring piece of evidence. It's like Exhibit A of how broken our healthcare system is. It's like the result of our healthcare system is that we have the 50th lowest life expectancy in the world. So, wow, you know,
That's alarming, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the reasons we jumped so much early in the 20th century was the vaccinations and the elimination of death and childhood diseases. So, we far more people lived through childhood than used to, which had a real bump effect on life expectancy. But now we've got, because of our lack of wellness and the lack of incentives toward wellness, we have a nation that's characteristically obese and out of shape and has a poor diet.
You know, Sandy, it is amazing. You know, United Kingdom, Canada, you should be able to compare with our nation, and they do such a good job of it. And you can't say, I mean, the size of our nation, Sandy, is much smaller than many of these other nations, and they get it done. You know, the fact that we only have 325 or 350 million people or so, we should be able to do a better job of this.
Yeah, we didn't get to 325 million overnight. This has been a steady growth. Our economy has grown with it, you know, and God knows we spend enough on healthcare. We spend something like 18% of our GDP on healthcare, which is far more than anybody else. And look at the results. You know, our healthcare system is so broken. We spend more than anybody, and our life expectancy is falling, and we rank in a dismal 50th.
Yeah, I mean, that when I read this article, Sandy, I just could not imagine that of all the nations, you would not expect us to be where we are. But you explained it so well. It's at a point where, you know, all these health discrepancies. I know people of color, high blood pressure, heart disease, all of those things that are baked into people of color and other things that happen in this country. And we can fix it, Sandy. It can be fixed. The question becomes whether or not there's a will to do it. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Always glad to have him here. We'll be right back.
As the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls.